for plebs by plebs, dropping the Bitcoin only signal. Pleb Underground. Welcome everyone to the Pleb Underground.
Welcome back to Pleb Underground. Bitcoiners are never bored. Today we welcome Hodlnaut, who just showed Craig is a fraud. CSW and Calvin trying to keep everyone shtum for telling the truth, spitting fire in the booth. Oh wait, do we have proof? Lol, nah. It's just a note from Craig's mum.
Dude, that was awesome. Thank you very much. And as the plebs have guessed it, we have Hodlnaut joining us today on the Pleb Underground. Hodlnaut, thank you so much, man. Really appreciate you being here.
Yeah, hey guys. Pleasure to be here. Look forward to spending some time with you guys.
Awesome, awesome. Now, before we dive into the numbers, we were just having a discussion about 25% of Americans believing that they can defeat a grizzly bear in hand-to-hand combat. And I just want to say it. I just want it to be out there. I do not believe that I could defeat a grizzly bear in hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, but 70% of statistics are made up.
Yeah, but 82% of them are accurate 60% of the time.
Yeah, but also some people think that seven-fifths of all fractions don't make sense.
Okay, okay. And on that note, we are diving into the numbers. Here we go.
The numbers, of course, brought to us by timechainstats.com. That's timechainstats.com.
At the time of this recording, the block height is 760,706. The Bitcoin price, 20,575. The total public lightning capacity, 5,161.47 BTC. Moscow time, we are now below 5K. 4860, and the chain rewrite days, 766. We are actually up. Those are the uneventful numbers, my friends. Walton.
Yeah, I think there's
thoughts
one
on those
more
numbers.
Yeah, I've got one more number, and that's one to Hodlnaut and zero to the fraud and his backers.
Good numbers.
Very good numbers. And speaking of which, right, since we're talking about these numbers, let's go and let's take a look at some time chain stats numbers that I think are very interesting. All right, we've got this tweet from Stephen Chow. If Saylor is willing to buy $4 billion worth of Bitcoin, you can get to one unit of Satoshis per person. Okay, which is around, at the time he tweeted this out, $50 or 260,375 sats. And work your way up. Now take a look. This is from timechainstats.com. And I think that this is actually really interesting, right? So he shows, one BTC contains 100 million sats. And what's really interesting is the estimated world population, the 21 million divided by the top 1%. 2.63 BTC per. And then after that, the 21 million divided by zero, by the 0.1%, then by the 1%. Okay. Then by the top 10%. And as you can see here, the 21 million divided per person.
Phil, one other statistic I like that's kind of in this realm is that in the United States, there are roughly 21 million dollar millionaires, and globally, there's about 60 million. So it's never going to be possible for every dollar millionaire currently in the States to own one whole Bitcoin. And it's not going to be possible for every dollar millionaire globally to own at least a third of a Bitcoin. And so I feel like those are interesting numbers to kind of to observe, I think, because a third of a Bitcoin is a reasonable stacking goal for a pleb this year. If you could put away a few thousand dollars, you could save a third of a Bitcoin, and that would put you in the dollar millionaire global bracket, given enough time.
Can you pull up that number again, Phil?
Absolutely.
I just had a thought there, which I actually been thinking about it before. That it's always interesting to divide, all the Bitcoin that will ever be created on the world population, and then you get like a number like 0.0026 and so on. But you have to keep in mind that, you know, how many Bitcoin has MicroStrategy right now? 100,000 something, a million Bitcoin, Satoshi stack. How many do we think is lost? Is it like 4 million? Just a huge amount. Anyways, and for every person that is, you know, in the top 0.1%, that would be something like 100 or 1,000 of the average persons here. So what I'm meaning to say is that there are not many Bitcoin left, or I mean, a lot of Bitcoin has been taken away by the people who have more. So there the normal distribution for a non-rich person would be dramatically less than that 0.002. It would probably be, you know, orders of magnitude lower. So even that number, it doesn't really reflect what it will be realistic for an average person to hold in the future. That was my point.
I think that's.
I don't think it will be normally distributed. I've considered this before. If you look at wealth distribution, and what's similar is wealth distribution somewhat matches the energy distribution of particles in a system. So if I don't know if you're familiar with the Maxwell-Boltzmann distribution, but essentially it's a it starts at 0.0. It has a relatively high kind of peak early, and then drops and has a tail that never touches. So essentially, there are no particles in a system that have no energy. Similarly, there are no people that have no wealth. Then there's a small number that have a very, there's a large number that have a very small amount, and then there's very few that have a large amount. And I think it's interesting because in the same way that particles exchange energy through collisions in a system, so do humans exchange money through interactions, in the economy.
Yeah. So I think that at least the median Bitcoin bag for the world population is going to be way, 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 way less than this average number if we took all the Bitcoins and divided it on the number of people in the world.
So we're going to back it up, and let's take a look at it from the view of, let's forget about the nuance of those numbers. Let's look at it from perception. Do you think that seeing these numbers, does this help? Or does this, or does this hurt Bitcoin in terms of perception, social perception, right? Because HODL and not, you know, as well as I do, so does Walton. You're right. There's unit bias. That's how, you know, shitcoiners can go and convince themselves that they're getting a deal, you know, by getting 100,000 of some, you know, shitcoin that is worth absolutely nothing, right? Fractions of a penny, hoping that it gets to a penny. So when people see these kind of numbers, do you think that it is? It's good or bad for the quote unquote Bitcoin perception?
I think it's just confusing mostly. And I think definitely this is a good example of a metric that should be displayed in sats and not in BTC. Not sure if it hurts anything, to be honest. You know, I think the level of, or the lack of education around Bitcoin is just so profound anyway. So I don't think this will make a huge difference, but again, would probably be a good idea to express these numbers in sats as a rule.
All right, Ant, you heard him. He wants to see it in sats. The space cat spoke. Get that updated. If there is nothing else, we will move on into the shitcoin corner.
The shitcoin corner sponsored by CryptoCloaks.com. CryptoCloaks make a variety of Bitcoin goodies. Here you see Phil modeling the honey badger. Inside, you have a secret compartment where you can store your FUD dice or maybe a signing device. If you use the code PLEBUNDERGROUND, you can get 5% off all the goodies, including the HODLernaut helmet you see Phil showing here, with 50% of the proceeds of that item going to defendingbtc.com, where you can join the fight against evil. Once again, that's CryptoCloaks.com.
All right, everyone, for the shitcoin corner, we are going to dive into first a tweet and then something maybe a little bit scarier that maybe not everybody was paying attention to. I know I wasn't. So, and what we're talking about is this this order 14067 from the U.S. president. We're gonna dive into what that's all about. But anyways, first let's take a look at this terrible tweet. All right, Evan Van Mess always has terrible takes that never make any sense.
More like Evan Van Mess.
Literally, that's what I just called him. Literally, I said the same thing. Anyways, BTC Maxis think it's a great dunk that ETH stakers won't be able to withdraw for 6 months. I'm going to suggest that you won't be able to withdraw for a lot longer than that, but I digress. Anyways, but Bitcoin miners can't withdraw the money they stake in ASICs. Wow. Oh,
my God.
Wow. Okay.
That's so stupid.
That doesn't make sense. They leveraged. What?
Okay. Hodlnot, I'm going to let you go first.
What can we say? I mean, it doesn't make any sense from any direction. I mean, he makes it clear. He likes tries to dunk on Bitcoin by the fact that some Bitcoiners, you know, support the network and like believe in the network enough to actually like buy mining equipment and mine Bitcoin, but they can sell their ASICs if they want. They're not like that's not locked in there. So I mean, what is he even saying? It's ridiculous.
And I had to respond to that tweet. I really had no choice. I did respond to that tweet, and that's exactly right. That's one of the points. The other point is that as you know, as you mine Bitcoin, if you're part of a mining pool. Okay, you can choose to manually withdraw your Bitcoin whenever you choose, or you can automate the withdrawals to a wallet. So this ridiculous narrative that he's trying to paint, it's completely different than staking a shitcoin that you can't do anything with at all. Like, it is stuck there. They have no idea how to move it. Anyways, Walton, your thoughts on this tweet from the mess.
I mean,
what a mess.
Like, I mean, one, he's a shitcoiner, so therefore you know his opinions are largely invalid. Two, refer to point number one.
Sorry, I was looking for my tweet. I was looking
hard
for my
to argue with that.
You can say it, you can pick it apart, but I don't know. Like,
no, there is no picking it apart, right? And this is part of my argument. Oh, go ahead.
It's equal parts stupid and dishonest, and I think that's par for the course from certain shitcoiners.
Right. Usually it's one or the other, but this time it's both.
Yeah, it's a beautiful blend.
Yeah.
Isn't it always just kind of back and forth between Evan Van Mess and Ryan Sean Adams? I honestly feel like they're both trying to prove who the worst shitcoiner is and who has the worst takes, and they're both winning.
I thought it was that Eric guy.
Oh, Eric. Yeah, no, he's kind of, he's trying. UD he's trying.
Udi Jr., I think he's called.
There's some serious cringe takes coming out of that dude.
Oh, him and Udi? They're like a power couple of cringe takes.
Why? What is happening? Why are they doing this? I feel like they're trying to be relevant or something.
Yeah, oh no, Phil, that's exactly what it is. It's pure engagement farming by playing kind of the worst kind of devil's advocate. Like, I think Udi maybe used to do it, like, with some intellectual, I don't know, some intellectual honesty, like some point to it. And then he, I don't know, did he lose it or were there nefarious plans? I don't know. But he stopped it stopped being constructive and started kind of misframing things essentially in not useful ways and it's deliberate. They cause a lot of controversy, but that's kind of the point. Is it's because shitcoins are meant to be a distraction away from Bitcoin, and they're just clowns going, look over here.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. They're just clowns. All right. We're gonna move away from that into some more serious shitcoin corner. And here we go. Let's take a look. This is a tweet from @therealsha256. Executive Order 14067 has been signed by President Joe Biden. This order introduces the social credit score system like the one China has in place now. All right, so obviously, you know, people who are familiar with me know that I'm going to go and dig
up. Don't trust verify.
That's right, you know, let's go take a look at this. Now, granted, I don't exactly see the social credit score system, but we're going to go through this and we're going to make up our minds, right? Okay, here we go. We've got Executive Order 14067 ensuring responsible development of digital assets. In brackets, we need to control this big time. Section 1, policy.
We need to try to control this.
The United States has an interest in responsible financial innovation, expanding access to safe and affordable financial services, and reducing the cost of domestic and cross-border fund transfers and payments, including through the continued modernization of public payment systems. We must take strong steps to reduce the risks that digital assets could pose to consumers, investors, and business protections, financial stability, and financial system integrity. Whoa, that was a mouthful. Combating and preventing crime and illicit finance, national security, the ability to exercise human rights.
Oh my God.
That's right, people. Human rights. Financial inclusion. Okay? Pay no attention that the banking system is exclusionary by design. It doesn't matter. And one of my favorite words, equity. Right? Mm-hmm. We chop everybody at the knees. It's amazing. And of course, gotta save the earth. Climate change and pollution. Just in that intro alone, there is so much to unpack. Before we move on, I just want to point out the banking system has been able to facilitate cross-border fund transfers and payments since the beginning of their inception. They never did. You know why? They're not incentivized to. You know why? They have a monopoly on the moving of money until now. So go frickin' pound sand. Anyways.
I always think it's weird, Phil, that equity is called equity because it feels more like debt.
Bingo. It's bullshit, okay? It's honestly, it's this disingenuous word association. So what it does is you say the word and it brings up these ideas, but the ideas actually have nothing to do with what they mean. So that's exactly what you're, you know, what we're experiencing with terms like equity. Anyways, here we go. Section 2, the objective.
I mean, rather than it being something that you own that is worth something, it's something that drags people down and makes them suffer.
Bingo. Exactly. Very well said. Okay. Section 2, the objectives. Here we go. This is where, if you didn't think that first section was cringy enough, here we go. We must protect consumers, investors, and businesses in the United States. That means we need to make sure we keep control and we have the moat. The unique and varied features of digital assets can pose significant financial risks to consumers, investors, and businesses if appropriate protections are not in place, i.e., we may lose power and we cannot have that. So we need to convince you that this is a problem for you. B, we must protect the United States and global financial stability and mitigate systemic risk. Of course, right? The same thing. It's the moat. Protecting the moat. We must mitigate the illicit finance and national security risk poses by misuse of digital assets. Ooh, yeah, that's right. Digital assets may pose significant illicit finance risks, including money laundering, cybercrime, ransomware, narcotics, and human trafficking, and terrorism, and proliferation financing. Okay, let's take a step to the side here. Just a very quick step.
US dollars cash probably do the more of that, all of those things. More of one of those things than Bitcoin does of all of those things combined. I don't have the stats, but that's probably true. Like, it's nonsense.
And this is why I always like to go bring up the biggest money laundering scams, because as they're trying to convince us that they're trying to control money laundering, HBC fined $1.9 billion for money laundering. Wachovia Bank fined $160 million for money laundering. For the drug cartels. So there's that illicit finance.
HSBC did it for the drug cartels, I believe, as well.
As well. Correct. And Standard Chartered Bank, $1.1 billion. So
do you think they got caught on all the money laundering that they have done? Do you think that's legitimate numbers?
Nope.
I think you can more than 100x those numbers. I'm absolutely sure.
Easily,
you know,
easily. The whole these banks.
The whole system is there to protect them from being caught on that shit.
What? Why exactly. Don't the banks care? Why don't the banks care that they're paying fines of hundreds of millions of dollars? It's because they're making tens of billions of dollars or more.
Exactly.
Exactly. Okay, here we go. Let's keep diving into the cringe. We must reinforce the United States leadership in the global financial system and in technological and economic competitiveness. We must promote access to safe and affordable financial services. Keep in mind, when you go get a bank account, they don't just let anyone have a bank account, right? You have to provide forms of KYC, and it obviously has to be all this government-related documentation. So it is by its very definition, an exclusionary system. So when you read lines like this, it's mental gymnastics. We must support technological advances that promote responsible development and the use of digital assets. Now, see, this is a very tricky one. What they're saying here is we need to control innovation. And if anybody that's listening understands how innovation works, that's not how it works. You can't control innovation. That's how you destroy innovation. And that's exactly what they want, because it's not innovation at all. All it is levers of control under the guise of innovation. All right, section 4, the policy and actions related to the United States central bank digital currencies. Okay, here we go, the CBDC stuff. A United States CBDC may have the potential to support efficient and low-cost transactions, particularly for cross-border funds, transfers, and payments, and to foster greater access to the financial system, with fewer of the risks posed by private sector administered digital assets. Make no mistake, the CBDC is private. Make no mistake, Bitcoin is the only truly inclusive digital asset because it is the only truly voluntary network. This is just a bullshit statement to make you feel warm and fuzzy. But really, it's just statist money. The assistant to the president and national climate advisor and the heads of other relevant agencies shall submit a report to the president on the connections between distributed ledger technology and short, medium, and long-term economic and energy transitions. The potential for these technologies to impede or advance efforts to tackle climate change at home and abroad, and the impacts these technologies have on the environment. That's right. Were you going to say hot a lot?
Yeah, can we just take a moment here to ponder the image of President Joe Biden receiving and reviewing these reports on the connections between distributed ledger technology and short, medium, and long-term economic and energy transitions? That's funny to think about.
In fairness, he does have a knack. He does have a nap between each paragraph, which does help slightly.
And don't forget, He usually gets the report right before milk and cookies, okay? Because then it's bedtime.
Yeah, it gets awfully nappy after milk and cookies.
That should probably be the best time to hand him this report, but instead they're giving it to him before. Come on, just pretend. Okay, all right, here we go. So here, let's dive into the uses. A, potential uses of blockchain that could support, here we go, monitoring or mitigating technologies to climate impacts. This is where I think we start to see that creep of the social credit system, such as exchanging of liabilities for greenhouse gas emissions, water, and other natural or environmental assets, and implications for energy policy, including as it relates to grid management and reliability, energy efficiency incentives and standards, and sources of energy supply. Sounds like a lot of strings attached to this quote-unquote inclusive government-issued freedom money. Anyways, Section 7, actions to limit illicit finance and associated national security risks. That's right, they're helping us, the little guys. Digital assets have facilitated sophisticated cybercrime related to financial networks and activity, including through ransomware activity. Guys, I just want you to understand, there was never any ransom before Bitcoin existed. We're reinventing the wheel, we're reinventing history, and as of today, there was no such thing as ransom before this, okay? These illicit activities highlight the need for ongoing scrutiny of the use of digital assets. The extent to which technological innovation may impact such activities and exploration of opportunities to mitigate these risks through regulation, supervision, public-private engagement, oversight, and law enforcement. In brackets, lots of violence and coercion. The heads of other relevant agencies shall develop a coordinated action plan based on the strategy's conclusions for mitigating digital asset-related illicit finance and national security risks addressed in the updated strategy. The action plan shall address the role of law enforcement and measures to increase financial service providers' compliance with AML CFT obligations related to digital asset activities. Okay. A lot of big words, a lot of fancy words, a lot of words that conjure up, in some cases, fear, in some cases, confusion. But at the end of the day, we can simplify this for everyone. The state has violence, the state has coercion, and you better believe they are going to use it to stop Bitcoin in any way they can. But what they don't understand is they are fighting a losing battle, and they are providing some of the absolute best cheerleading for why Bitcoin is so important. I'm going to start with HODL and OTS. Man, what are your thoughts on this article? I mean, don't get me wrong. I know you're out in Norway, but let's face it. The policies of most of the world's biggest governments all seem to sound the same.
Yeah. No, I fully agree with your assessment. Like, huge and depressing word salad, letting it shine very clearly through that there's a lot of willingness to use coercion and violence to get their will. And it also lets it, it's just depressing that this is like what we are paying taxes to, like an apparatus that like conjures up this level of bullshit because they're so afraid of censorship resistant sound money that is what will actually bring humanity back again. So it's ridiculous and depressing and futile. Of course,
that's the best part.
And one comment
part is that it's futile.
Yeah, futile, because it's censorship resistant. Bitcoin is censorship resistant. So at the end of the day, who cares about all this regulation? Doesn't matter. The shitcoiners care because it affects them because you can actually shut those things down. But it doesn't matter.
Yeah, Bitcoin. What I was gonna say is like the Norwegian perspective on this. All of this is happening, of course, here too. Talks about CBDCs and but what reading this shit there was mention of, of course they're gonna tie it in with the climate impact angle, and there are banks here in Norway that has already implemented into the online banking system that you can see the like how much CO2 your transactions represent, and that's kind of like that shows the nefariousness of this because they're rolling it out, they're rolling out functionality before they have the skeleton in place. So when these CBDCs hit, they will instantly be able to connect them to, for example, this the fact that we already normalized having climate impact tags on every transaction you do, and even on the fucking menus in restaurants, hamburger, and then it says how many grams of CO2 it represents. I stop becoming a customer of those places immediately and forever when I see shit like that, and it's just disgusting, and it's very clear what they're aiming for.
Yeah, that is brutal. I was not aware of that. So thank you very much for sharing. I mean, look, the reality is that this type of behavior, if we accept it, we are going to be goose-stepped into an absolutely terrible dystopian future that we want no part of.
We are being goose-stepped as a civilization, but Bitcoin is the one thing that's, goose-stepping us away from it. But everyone else who's not a Bitcoiner yet, they are actively goose-stepping every fucking day.
It's really scary stuff.
Okay, I don't understand how, but tonight is the first time I've heard this term goose-stepping.
Oh, really?
Yeah, bizarre.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's like inching you along, right? You know,
so
it's just kind of pushing
the term
you.
Slippery slope.
Yeah.
Each to their own, yeah.
No, but that's similar language, yeah.
Yeah, like a lemming herd taking just small but continuous steps towards oblivion.
Yeah.
And you
but
see...
it's more that what happens is the state kind of encroaches and then they accept and step back, and then that keeps happening.
Yeah. And you have classic shit like, you know, once like they push you two steps and then they give you a little step back, and then everyone is like, see, no problem here, and then run you steps.
See, the benevolent dictator, they're okay.
Yeah, don't say benevolent dictator, Phil, because I think actually the states, if you look around the world, the states that work the best actually have benevolent dictators rather than quote unquote, you know, democratic governments for the people.
Yeah, sad but true.
It is sad but true. But at the same time, we get to step away from that with Bitcoin. Right, and not only that, but
a citadel sounds to me, a lot of people, like what some Bitcoiners want to have as their own little dictatorships, but each to their own.
I can't disagree with that. I have definitely heard some interesting language around that. But the best thing about it is this, right? Unlike the fiat system, where the dictator gets to just simply print infinitely to create their power, their moat, and their military strength, Bitcoin, at some point, that dictator, if they're on a Bitcoin standard, will have no choice but to provide some value back. Otherwise, they're not going to get anyone's Bitcoin.
Well, they might provide, you know, food and board.
There you go.
I think, I don't know. Is the feudal system more meritocratic? I don't know.
That's definitely a whole other topic on the side, not in the shitcoin corner. But look. This wraps up the Shitcoin Corner, and we are going to move on over to the Hopium.
Up next, we have the Hopium, brought to you by Represent Clothing. You can see Phil here wearing the Represent hoodie. They have many here, one of their t-shirts. All of their apparel is very high quality, well-fitting. And of course, you can see very trendy. If you go to representltd.com and use the code PLEBUNDERGROUND, I believe you get some kind of discount. Is that right, Philip?
I don't think he's enabled the code yet.
Oh, no.
I asked him about it.
Oh. Okay, well, maybe in the future this will become true. But for now, you can just be thankful that they appreciate the show. And it is run by a Bitcoin maximalist, David X. Support a Bitcoin company, go to representltd.com. Phil, for the Hopium this week, I've got a couple of stories. The first one that I'd like to share with you is about Core Scientific, a very large Bitcoin miner, essentially revealing that they're going to go bust. They said they're going to stop paying on their loans soon, which I didn't realize it was a thing that we could do. If I have fiat debt, I didn't know I could just go, hey, Mr. Loan, I'm just going to stop paying you because, you know, I feel like it. But apparently, if you're a public company, you can do this sort of thing. Anyway, they said this, and they're hiring lawyers and accountants to get some sort of cut in the hope that they'll enable them to kind of get through this time of difficulty, blah blah blah, some fiat nonsense. But anyway, the shitcoin, which is their stock, really did a shitcoin move. You can see dropping 70% in a day. I believe this is one of the Mike Alfred's favorite stock tips, by the way, was Core Scientific. That guy, what an idiot. Anyway, yeah, Bitcoin magazine, you see here reporting this. Why is this Hopium? So you may be wondering. To me, this is Hopium because this is nature healing. One excellent thing that we see in the Bitcoin system is feedback and being for the good. You see this in, you know, a functioning human body. You see this in a functioning economy. You see this in many places if something works well, but essentially if you have aligned incentives, it's good for the system. Now, one reality here is that a company that was over leveraged, a company that took on debt to fuel their growth, got greedy and will blow up, hopefully. And those miners the ASICs that these guys will no longer be using will be bought by more efficient, more sustainable miners. You know, guys on, 5 cents energy in West Texas will be picking these up. There's going to be a bunch of miners all over the world that will take on these miners, and this is good for Bitcoin because once again, not only will kind of system of Bitcoin become more efficient, but also we'll actually see further decentralization in mining, something that many people occasionally speak as one negative in the mining industry is the relative centralization, with some of these really big miners having a lot of hash rate. So I think Hopium for two reasons.
Yeah.
Oh, valid, I thought you were going to give two other reasons.
No, sorry, that was it. There's going to be further decentralization of mining, but also it's going to be more efficient, and it's good for the system because we're getting rid of leverage in the system. It's going to be good for number go up whenever there's too much leverage in kind of the ecosystem. I hate this term ecosystem around Bitcoin. It can be a price suppressant, I think, because often these guys they sell their Bitcoin to try and avoid their business going boom, and then actually they still go boom anyway.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting and kind of unprecedented, the run up in hash rate that has happened lately. We had this just relentless adding of hash rate.
I mentioned on last week's episode, hold on, there was one firm that did a huge new deployment, I believe, of kind of tens of thousands of ASICs.
Yeah, and it's gone in hand with, a similarly relentless downtrend in the Bitcoin price, or sideways recently, but, basically a bear market that has been more drawn out and more brutal than as usual, I would say, than most people expected. But I think it's important to remain, rational and like a little careful in how we think. I mean, if there ever was going to be a 51% attack on Bitcoin, this would be a hell of a time to do it. Before Bitcoin just becomes too big and too established and too calcified to ever be attacked like that. And, to see huge mining operations like Core Scientific, basically, it's going to go under, I'm sure. And they're probably not the only ones. If there is a possibility we have coordinated globalist or state actors stacking hash rate at the moment and could have been doing it for a while, I'm not worried about this, but I think it's probably timely to not dismiss completely the potential risk that lies there, because I'm almost a little suspicious about how fast and how sustained this hash rate increase has been despite the downtrend in price. At the same time, I mean, there is a lag.
There's a massive lag, I think, especially when it comes to some of these power contracts and all this fiat kind of licensing.
I mean, when you big hash rate coming online, that's like a decision that was made 12 to 24 months ago, at least. So there is that, but yeah, interesting and awesome to see the hash rate, how it's been developing.
That stock looks like a shitcoin. And I think you bring up some great points about the hash rate. Like Walton said, we were discussing it last week. And as you were explaining that, it got me thinking, right? maybe we're also seeing this massive run up in hash rate. I mean, besides what Walton confirmed about, you know, the miner, you know, the miners being deployed, I think that it's the, you know, what is the reasoning behind it, right? That why were these decisions made? And I think what it is that in order, I hate talking about the fiat price, okay? But the reality is that NGU, right? The number go up and the freedom go up technology.
The fiat exchange
like,
rate, Phil.
I'm sorry?
The fiat exchange rate. It's not a price.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There you go. The fiat exchange rate. So, you know, the reality is that we're, you know, the Bitcoin price is going to go up in terms of the fiat exchange rate as the freedom go up technology goes with it. And essentially, fuck, I'm going to have to cut it because I forgot it. Damn it.
I can jump in. I think, like, there one parameter that is you need it to succeed as a miner as well. You need conviction in Bitcoin. If you don't have conviction that NGU is a thing, then, I mean, I can just imagine how the, you know, if you have traditional finance people looking at their Excel sheets, you know, for miners, for this Core Scientific or any other operation, it's going to look bad, you know, because they will always try to, they look at what these parameters are right now. They don't take into account what we do, that, I mean, Bitcoin right as of this moment is more undervalued than it's ever been, in my opinion, like, obviously. And you need basically the hodler low time preference mentality also as a miner to succeed. And in practice, that means you need resources, you need bank to be able to sustain mining during these periods right now. And like this leveraged fiat concoctions of mining that, you know, they fall apart when bear markets like this hit. And I mean, accompanied by the increased hash rate. So yeah, conviction is needed.
But I see it like a forest fire. It's nature healing.
Yeah, it is. And I'm sorry, what I wanted to say about the price, right? So this bear market has been long and drawn, like more, let's say, painful, it seems, than previous ones and more drawn out. But I think that unfortunately, to a certain extent, if we expect to see Bitcoin's fiat exchange rate go above the six figures, I think that we need a proper environment and catalyst for that. I think that's what's being made right now with this increasing in hash rate and the more infrastructure that's being laid down into the quote unquote ecosystem. So, I mean, look, this is, to me, it's like we always say as Bitcoiners, Bitcoin is inevitable. This is inevitable.
To me, the single biggest factor for number go up, though, is self-custody. The reason we're able, to me, if you have, you know, Bitcoin on exchanges, it enables price suppression in a number of different ways. And it also, the people are just giving their Bitcoin for free often. They're just leaving it there for, you know, they're not even getting paid something, you know, something for the custodian risk. So not your keys, not your coins. Please take self-custody of your Bitcoin. It's the most important thing you need to learn about Bitcoin is to how to take self-custody. You can use, you know, as a bare minimum, a non-custodial mobile app. That means that the keys will be on your phone. It's better than it being on an exchange. Now, an upgrade from that is then using a signing device where you can offline generate the wallet, which is much more secure. You have the keys not touching the internet, but it does require slightly more skill. Now, your Bitcoin security is something that you should be working to improve, not necessarily every week, but it should be something you're working on consistently over time. You need to treat your Bitcoin stack as if it's worth 10 times what it actually is, because you can't call anyone if you lose it. I'm sorry. You need to take responsibility with full sovereignty. With full sovereignty, it takes, you know, a lot of responsibility. And so keep learning bit by bit. Shout out bit by bit. But also, Yeah, keep learning about that Bitcoin security. It's the most important thing for securing your stack. And as a Bitcoiner, it's your responsibility to do so.
Absolutely. So, what's the next story, my friend?
Yeah, one more story I have is about Elon. Apparently, he bought Twitter. And what's weird is actually all the bots went today. So, like, there's two theories about that. One theory, I guess you could say, is that I think maybe the Twitter employees, specifically for the shitcoin bots, I think some Twitter employees are on the take or were on the take. And of course, now he sacked them. All the shitcoin bots seem to have disappeared. But the story I really want to share is actually more about, like, what Elon's purchase of Twitter means for things like free speech or for payments. Some people are, you know, jumping up and down thinking, oh, it's going to be amazing free speech. But I also think, well, look at the incentive. Elon gets a lot of money from governments. He'll therefore be under pressure to even though Twitter is public, his other companies may suffer and he may not, you know, choose to.
They can hurt him.
Exactly. And so I think the more interesting part about him buying Twitter is about what it enables other than speech. Now, I say other than speech. Of course, Bitcoin itself is free speech. And so maybe I'm still talking about him enabling free speech nonetheless. Is Twitter could further and further integrate Bitcoin. Now, here we see a tweet from Caitlin Long that about Elon's acquisition of Twitter being about payments. Now, of course, Elon was he didn't kind of create, but he was part of the early PayPal team who tried to disintermediate ACH, an interbank payment method, and now he's seemingly reconstituting with some new faces. I'm guessing hiring some old people that were there at PayPal. This time, though, you know, Bitcoin exists. And maybe what we have, as David Bailey, the CEO of Bitcoin Magazine, says, is maybe we have a WeChat of the West, but with Bitcoin as the currency and delivered via Starlink. And then some simping about, Elon. But there is potential here for further Bitcoin integration. How viable? I mean, it's certainly very viable, but will it happen? I'm not sure. Will Elon try and push Doge or some other nonsense? Maybe. Is this just another one of a billionaire's playthings that he can fuck around with? Maybe. Like, does he take things seriously? I don't know. You know, there's some people who think Tesla will grow to be the world's biggest company. I think some of that is, it's nonsense. But is Elon well intentioned? I don't know. Does it matter? Probably not. Is this really hopium? It's something, yeah, I think you should be slightly more wary of. I don't think this is going to be all that bullish for free speech, for further Bitcoin integration. But it has the potential to be. We will see. What do you think, guys?
Well, yeah. You said the shitcoin bots. Before we talk about the Elon thing, you said the shitcoin bots left, but BitBoy's account is still on Twitter. So not all the shitcoin bots are gone.
Oh.
Just pointing that out. But look, this...
Those scammers pay more to be there, I believe, Phil.
I'm pretty sure he's a bot. he's a bot. Anyways, so look, this whole thing with Elon, right? I'm definitely far from an Elon simp. I'm probably more of like a Elon skeptic. Like those comments about PayPal. Like, and again, I think it's going to be a matter of opinion. From what I read... he was essentially pushed out of PayPal because, you know, he's useless. And the reality is that a lot of people are gonna sit there and be like, what are you talking about? He's a genius. Look what he did with Tesla and all this stuff.
No, you're right about that.
He's just a spoiled rich kid, okay, who got a lot handed to him. And granted, he didn't do nothing with it. So this is very good. Okay, we can appreciate that, but that doesn't change people's narcissism. That doesn't change people's incentives. It doesn't change the fact that he clamors for attention. It doesn't change the fact that he's a government grifter. Okay, so yes, he grifts the government money for Tesla. And the reality is that if he didn't buy Bitcoin, he wouldn't have had a profitable quarter. Okay, because his cars are not profitable. Sorry, not sorry. But the point is, the point is that it's always about making it about him. And we saw what happened just on Twitter when you know, he essentially, when he made a comment about Bitcoin, or I think it was what it was that he started to say that he was accumulating Doge, or he liked Doge, or whatever it was. I don't even remember what happened exactly, but the point is that immediately when the limelight went away for his Bitcoin news, it seemed as though he needed to find something else. And so he hooked onto a shitcoin. And that's just pathetic. And I'm sorry, this is what narcissists do. When they see that it's not about them anymore, they go and they find another platform that makes it about them. And that's exactly what this guy does. So I'm not impressed. I don't give a shit. And, you know, good for him. Good for him. You know, he can do all this stuff. That's fantastic. This is what he chose to do. I don't hold him up as a hero or as a person who's going to fix anything. I appreciate Dave Bailey's, you know, hopium comments, but I wouldn't hold my breath for Elon to actually do the quote unquote right thing.
Right. He may not do the right thing. And now, as you can see here, his Twitter profile shows he is the chief twit at Twitter. So he's not taking it all that seriously. But he does have 111 million followers. So he is good at getting people to look at him. If he does something good, that has a lot of potential to spread. Hodlanor, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm on a completely different place than you guys on this one. I mean, you may have noticed if you read my tweets, but yeah, a couple of things. I mean, in my look at the world right now, what's going on? It's a hellscape. It's a woke hellscape with nothing but false narratives and bullshit. Elon calls this bullshit out. He talks about the woke mind virus. He pisses off all the right people for us. The dude has gigantic balls. Tesla owns $200 million worth of Bitcoin right fucking now. He owns tons of Bitcoin. The importance of Twitter as a place for discourse. See what happened when Trump was kicked off Twitter. He disappeared. He disappeared from people's horizon, as if he never existed. The Twitter was accelerating down the wrong path. Agrawal, the old CEO, he's on record saying he doesn't care about free speech. He talks about the new demands of the world. All that shit is that's what Elon is saying he wants to do with Twitter. You know, I don't think Elon, I suspect Elon is gonna do some cool shit with Bitcoin on Twitter. I mean, Elon and Jack, they're pretty tight. I think Jack has Elon's ear in some ways. If there is gonna be some Dogecoin bullshit as well, that's a price I'm willing to pay to have a platform that re-platforms people who have done nothing but question broken narratives and outright evil narratives. Those people will be back on Twitter now. That's fucking important, guys. I mean, the importance of Twitter, I think people tend to underplay it. Yeah, I love that. I love that. That guy and all, like the fucking content health product team that Twitter had, who identified bad tweets and good tweets. And
apparently that woman was being paid $17 million. $17 million, yeah, head of that, you know.
That's worth every single dollar to get her out. Every single, that's great value. Like, pay whatever it, like, her and Agrawal, they're out now. I couldn't be more pleased. I'm optimistic. I mean, for me, I actually told Katya earlier today that this news today that this deal actually closed. I mean, the fucking administration, U.S. administration, were starting to rattle their sabers about like intercepting the takeover and this is dangerous to democracy. And I mean, all the bullshit we are so fucking tired of hearing are attacking Elon. So for me, this was amazing news. I'm
even though they only won because they managed to get enough woke people in at Twitter to get Trump kicked off.
I didn't understand that. What did you mean?
I mean, as in the Democrats only won the last election because their woke politics has fueled enough people at Twitter to get rid of Trump.
You know, not only, you know, that last election, I'm not gonna say anything else, and it stinked worse than pretty much everything else I've smelled except for COVID the last years. And you know, okay, we're not allowed to discuss that, I guess, but you know,
Craig looks like he might smell really bad.
can't confirm or deny, but I think, you know, a couple of things that has been extremely detrimental to the world the last years, Twitter has been enabling that and probably been instrumental in making it happen. So I'm optimistic. I'm not a Elon simp. I don't simp for anyone. The moment I see, you know, evil bullshit going on there, I'm gonna be the first one to call it out and go at it. But at the moment, I'm really happy and optimistic about this Elon Twitter takeover.
Very good.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you know, with these people being gone, right? Obviously, these people should have never been there to begin with, and it's just been absolutely terrible. Also, the other piece of it is, as much as I may dislike what, you know, the information that I've learned about him, that doesn't, you know, for me, it doesn't mean that I don't have hope that he will do the right things. And I completely agree with you. He does rub people in the system the wrong way. I do want to push back a bit, though, because when he was touting Bitcoin, it seems like all of a sudden he changed his tune and then he started touting Doge.
How much Doge is Tesla holding on their balance sheet?
No, nothing. But
forget
that's,
that. How much?
But it's
how
not
much,
the point. Why?
How much
why?
Does what he we're like missing to manipulate is markets?
Why did he stop talking about Bitcoin?
Bill.
And why did he start talking about a shitcoin? And I think it's because
probably
possibly
Tesla
somebody
related.
Got in his ear. They get a lot of money from the government.
Did he say about Tesla? He said he would buy, he would take it private at $420 a share.
Did he, though?
He likes to troll markets. He likes to manipulate markets. I think he wants to, if he's talking bad about Bitcoin or not talking about Bitcoin or acting like he doesn't understand Bitcoin, if he actually does, assuming that's true, which I'm not sure it is, but assuming that's true, maybe he's actually just FUDding to buy up.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Could be.
There's lots of possibilities here, but I think the point is Elon buying Twitter at a bare minimum seems kind of fun. The bots seem to be gone largely. And, you know, it has the potential for a lot of good. Phil, do you have any further comments, or do you think we can wrap up the hopium just there?
Fuck shit coins. Oh, wait, that's the wrong segment.
Oh, no.
Damn
we
it.
Forgot. Yeah, fuck shit coins. And fuck you, Craig, right? And Calvin.
All right. So that wraps up the hopium segment. And we are actually going to move on over to, we are going to start doing something monthly. We're going to start providing a BTC Pay server update on their developments. Why? Because they're an absolutely awesome project in the space. Okay. They are not just for merchants. BTC Pay server can be used as your own wallet. And I think a lot of people don't know enough about BTC Pay servers. So once a month, we're going to cover an update on them. All right, guys. So the latest update from BTC Pay server that came out, 1.6.12. These are some, well, actually, you know what? We'll just go through all of them. Let's take a look at the bug fixes. Always show the overpaid amount if the invoice is overpaid. They fixed the custodian swagger docs. Well, for the people who actually know what that is, that's probably a good thing. fix the receipts for Lightning address invoices. They fixed the keypad view without custom amounts for POS. And keep in mind, that is not proof of stake. That is point of sale. But as I've said in the Urban Dictionary, that stands for piece of shit. Anyways, there was a fix for truncating dates in wallet transaction lists, and they updated the default value for a show custom amount. Now, these are the pieces that I think a lot of people really, you know, really appreciate.
I think what you're saying is that Bitcoiners know that bugs are for fixing, not for eating.
Oh, very well done. little jab at the WEF. Because fuck the World Economic Forum. So the improvements that we've got. The wallet transaction list uses Infinity Scroll rather than pagination. I appreciate that. I like Infinity Scroll. Thank you very much. Remove direct and temp link functionality from the file storage. They fixed warning errors when rebooting the server caused by some shitcoin currency pair format. The shitcoins. They always screw things up. Add invoice.orderID to list of supported email interpolation strings. Bless you, interpolation. That is a good big word. Do not hide errors happening in tasks spawned by the base async service. That's right. So,
Phil, interpolation is just like, if you have a chart, it's reading like up and across. That's interpolation.
Yeah, I know. I was just trying to make it funny.
Oh, sorry. I thought you didn't understand math, and I was just
trying to make it a little more lighthearted. Anyways, guys, if you have BTC Pay Server, I have it on my MyNode. If you have it, make sure that you've updated it. There's some great fixes, great improvements, and look for our next segment on the BTC Pay Server updates at the end of November. All right, since we do have the Space Cat here with us, and we know that he's been asked a million questions a million times, especially in the last 3 weeks, we do want to ask him some questions. So you know what, Walton, what do you got for the Space Cat?
Space Cat, we
really appreciate you answering these for us.
My first question is, do you have a cat? And if so, why is it not named Craig?
I have a cat living with me. It's not my cat. It's Katya's, or Katya's and her mom's cat. So I guess the reason it's not called Craig is two-part answer. Like, I didn't name the cat, first of all. And if I was the one naming the cat, Craig would be the last possible name I would call my cat.
I should hope so. PTSD. That's like triggering PTSD every time you call your cat.
Yeah, I would call him like a nice name, like Calvin or something.
What? Because he's good around small children? No, wait, no.
Oh, we're not cutting that. We're not cutting that.
No. Anyway, but I guess my other question is, do you think you can kind of go back to being a pleb now? Because when I joined Bitcoin Twitter a little bit after your Lightning Torch, despite being a Bitcoiner maybe slightly before it, and so to me, you were almost a bit of a, you know, mini celebrity almost on Bitcoin Twitter. But the more time I spent here and getting to know you, that I understand that, you know, you're very much what's the word, you know, a quintessential pleb. Like, you are the essence of a Bitcoin pleb. Do you think now, after, I mean, I know there's a bit more of it to you know, the trial in London after the one in Oslo, but after the trial, do you think you can kind of go back to being a pleb?
Do you think
you're going to be asked about this forever?
Yeah, like, I'm not going to go back to being a pleb, because I'll never go away from being a pleb. I mean, I spent, you know, quite a bit of time in court talking about toxic and pleb, and, like, you know, it was there even in cross-examination, you know. So I guess, you know, I'm a toxic Tauco pleb. Actually, Tauco pleb, all of this shit was up for questioning. So even the judge knows I'm a toxic Tauco pleb. So I don't know. I'll remain a pleb. Don't worry. I have zero interest in that other stuff that some people do when they gain followers.
I said in an interview with Pyra in your magazine, actually Citadel 21, that Bitcoiners aren't toxic. That they are integrity maximalists, and what's seen as toxicity is often just us pointing out who the scammers are, maybe not saying so very nicely, but it's with good intentions, and you know, it's very accurate. It's like even people like Dieter, who most people, you know, who's a very polarizing figure on Bitcoin Twitter, he's, you know, he calls out a lot of scammers, and I think he's, you know, he's good for the system.
Yeah, he's called out me as a scammer like 10 different times or something. So I mean, I can't stand the guy. I think he's
idiot, wrong,
but,
though, about you. So
he's an absolute he moron in my book, but. But integrity maximalist is a good word for it, I think. And I actually also discussed this with the judge and like Craig's lawyer, like what toxic means, because they were playing a lot on me using the word toxic in my tweets. And they were, especially one tweet where I said something like huge appreciation to all the toxic and rabid Bitcoin maximalists out there, and he said it like with this most dramatic toxic and rabid appreciation, never let up, like he's how I was, you know, the ringleader of this evil group of people who just wanted to harm people. But yeah, it's integrity, it's allergy to bullshit and scams and liars. It's like we're just tired of listening to all these fucking lies, and we just call it out. We call it out, and we should hold a mirror up to people. That's how I see it. But of course,
I don't know about you, but I've always been like this. I've, you know, I say
too.
That I've never put popularity above integrity.
Yeah.
Like I'm not the most liked, but it's because I have principles, and I'm gonna stick to them. I'm going to call out people who I think have bad principles or a lack of good principles.
Yeah, I like to respect myself, and to be able to respect myself, I have to speak my mind, and that's it.
That is exactly right. And I like the point, you know, about integrity maximalism. That is exactly it. I think what a lot of these, a lot of these shitcoiners try to portray us as like, oh, you know, Bitcoin maximalism because it's Bitcoin. And I think that they misunderstand. We are freedom maximalists, and Bitcoin is the best tool that enables that freedom for everyone. So
no, Phil, we're free speech maximalists, and Bitcoin is the best way to transfer value as part of speech.
I love it. I love it. See, can't even agree on that. We can't even agree on what we are. It's fantastic. This is the point.
No,
right?
You.
And everybody sits there and tries to pretend that it's all kumbaya.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, we had several pretty strong disagreements even in this, like Elon, for example, you know. But that's what it's about. And personally, whenever things get circle jerky, I just, you know, I hate that shit when it's all about, you know, pleasing the chamber or something. That fucking sucks. And I don't see that among plebs. I mean, it's expected to from each other to be honest. And being honest, that will lead to disagreements, and that's how it should be.
Totally right, agreed.
This isn't what Circle Jerk did. This is Pleb Underground. Phil, I think you've got a couple of little thanks, or
we got some announcements.
Yeah,
we got some announcements, right? Shout out to everybody that's streaming a sat on fountain.fm. That's right, you could stream a sat through Breeze. We really appreciate it. Don't forget to check us out on our audio only platforms: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor. We're also posting all of our weekly episodes on Rumble, so check us out on Rumble. And just yesterday, we got our official YouTube handle. So that's right. We are at Pleb Underground on YouTube. Don't forget to check us out. Don't forget to check out Citadel 21 for the best Pleb signal. No doubt. If you want real stories from real plebs, Citadel 21, check them out. And of course, HODLNOT is still battling the shitcoiners. So if you want to donate, defendingbtc.com. Thank you.
Or go over to Crypto Cloaks and buy that little helmet thing. And,
that's right.
Contribute to the cause and get a 5% discount with the code PlebUnderground.
Very nice. Very nice. This wraps up our episode. HODLNOT, before we leave, just tell the people how to reach you.
At HODLNOT on Twitter.
Awesome. All right, guys. That wraps up the show.
Just
we will catch
thing,
you all.
Phil. Just one more thing. Yeah. Fuck shitcoins. Fuck shitcoins.
Yeah, fuck him.
Fuck shitcoins. All right, next week. We'll catch you then. Thank you.